Rich Kimball here, Carrie Haskell, Ryan Wehning, Brian Stackpole in studio as we celebrate with our favorite people in the world, and that means our next guest has got to be here, David Roth of Deadspin joining us. David, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy 2000.
It's just a number, you know, it's just a number, but when you get to my age, you count all those numbers.
I feel like any chance I get to wish somebody a happy 2000th anything, I have to take just on principle.
There you go, right there. Where to begin? The last time you were on, it was all falling apart for Mickey Callaway and the Mets, and now all of a sudden, do you believe in miracles?
Oh, man. Yeah, so I wrote a blog post earlier this week with the headline, "Consider the Possibility That the Mets Will Never Lose Again." And it was a joke at the time. I was honestly, I wasn't trying to jinx them, but I was aware that I probably was. And somehow it didn't work. So now I have no idea what to believe. Like, this could really go, and it's at a level of supernatural influence that's far beyond anything that I've ever witnessed.
And how did this happen? Is it? It can't be through some sort of strategic plan because these are the Mets.
Yeah. So basically, it's luck. I mean, they've played the three of the very worst teams in baseball nonstop for 2 weeks, and they won almost all of those games, and that's good. You know, so credit to the if the rest of the season was the Mets trying to like beat the Marlins in the NLDS and then beat the Pirates in the NLCS and then beat the White Sox in the World Series, like, I think they'd have a really good chance. But those teams are combined like 744 games under 500, and we'll see what happens. Like, the Mets are going to start playing better teams. They have the Nats, and then they have the Braves. They have a lot of Braves the rest of the way, and we'll see. I think that they're better than they were. You know, I think their good players are really good. They made one move to help the team at the deadline, and I think it was a good move, but it's very Mets. I mean, they love to give themselves a chance and then not do anything to improve that chance. That's like the organizational philosophy.
I always love Let's Remember Some Guys, but man, this week, a trip to Beverly Hills to learn about the Yiddish Curver, that was just awesome.
Yeah, I'm happy. This is very, I'm aware that this is a narrow casting sort of audience, even by Let's Remember Some Guys standards. There's only so many people that want to watch me open baseball cards on video under the very best of circumstances. But this is a guy that my friend Erin is a curator out there, and she's worked with a group called the Baseball Reliquary, which is a really cool organization that's kind of set up as like an alternative Hall of Fame that has a sense of humor about itself. And this guy, who's a doctor, he's a like endocrinologist in Beverly Hills, is as like a secret identity as the world's foremost collector of baseball cards with Jewish players on them, like, which is the sort of thing that you would maybe start doing as a joke, and then at some point it just, like, I mean, he has a life, he has, like, you know, a family, and but also, like, in his attic he has like daguerreotypes of baseball players from 1867 and stuff. Which is, I mean, I'm not going to say I aspire to that, but I would love to pick up a hobby that, first of all, wound up being historically significant, and second of all, involved, like, having to go to Caracas, Venezuela to visit a baseball card store because they might have a sticker there.
But I love the story of Barney Pelty, who I have to confess I knew nothing about.
I had not heard of him either. So this is, like, the thing that was, so obviously he has a lot of these cards, but he's also, like, sort of, I call people baseball historians, even if it, you know, there's not like a degree you can get at that. It's just basically, if you care enough and you read enough, you become that in my mind. And Pelty is a guy, you know, the equivalent of, you know, Ryan Dempster, like, except for Jewish, and he pitched in like the teens for the St. Louis Browns, who were always bad. But there's like no reason why you would really remember Ryan Dempster unless you'd seen him play, and yet, like, this guy had all of Pelty's cards, and the whole story about how, like, star-crossed and unlucky he was as a pitcher, which, you know, I looked him up on Baseball Reference, and it's true. He played for these St. Louis Browns teams that won, like, 30 times a year, and, you know, he pitched great for them. The only record he still holds, the Browns later became the Orioles, and a lot of great pitching in that organization, but Barney Pelty still has hit more batters with pitches than anyone involved in the Orioles. So can't take that away from him unless you can.
We're talking with David Roth here on Deadspin. You tweeted about this the other day. Is there anything cooler than Vince Carter signing to play another season in the NBA? I love that.
I have really come around on that as like my favorite NBA thing. it helps that he's still pretty good. Like, there's always been guys of, you know, former superstars that hang around me because they're chasing a ring or, you know, like the sort of the Karl Malone move. And Carter is cool to me because he's so obviously not that. Like, I mean, he's re-upping with the Atlanta Hawks, who are, like, maybe a playoff team if everything goes right and, like, Trae Young becomes Steph Curry. But that's nobody's idea of chasing a ring. He's not signing for big money. I think he just likes playing basketball and, like, hanging out. But, man, he's been playing for so long. I mean, like, all the younger people at work are always, like, mind-blown by this. Like, going back and looking at the other people that were selected in the 1998 draft with Carter. And, man, there's, like, I mean, a couple of them are deceased, but a lot of them are just, like, people that had completely folded them up or were, like, making money playing in Turkey by the time that I have, like, coworkers in their mid-20s. I don't remember seeing them play in an NBA game. And Vince Carter's still dunking.
Can you, while you have a moment or two, David, can you break down some EPL action for us?
No. This is our podcast this week at work. We had Luis Paez Kumar, very knowledgeable about soccer, joined Drew and I to, you know, and Drew cares about EPL. He's a kid and is into it. I got nothing, man. I mean, I used to watch games with my friends when they would, you know, because it was when you're in your 20s and your friends are like, oh, we're going to a bar at like 10:30 in the morning. Do you want to come? And I was like, you know, at that time I was like, oh, cool. And I didn't know bars were open then. Yes, I'll join you. And so, like, you know, I'd watch some games, but at the same time, you know, I never really fully came around on it. I sort of feel like I've gotten to a healthy place with soccer. You get older and you start having to realize that you maybe like have more sports in your diet than is healthy. And so I've like cut back here and there. And so for soccer, that's like I enjoy soccer the way that I enjoy like lobster, you know, which is like once or twice with great appreciation. That's about that.
All right, let's get away from sports. In the midst of dark times in America, is there anything that's more uplifting than having Vice President Mike Pence say, we just all need to spend more time on our knees?
He's the best, isn't he? I can't get over how weird he is. You know, like the quote, the one that I keep coming back to, he tweeted it with a picture of himself standing next to a horse. And he said, I've always said there's nothing better for the outside of a man than the inside of a horse. Or something like that.
Yes.
And it
yes.
sounds like, I think it was just an attempt at some sort of bit of like homespun cowboy wisdom or whatever. But like, you just can't do it, man. Like, yeah, don't say funny. That. It's like, and I think that, you know, I don't think he meant anything dirty by it because I don't think he would know where to start.
No.
If he were trying to be dirty.
No, and mommy but, wouldn't let him.
Right. I mean, that's what I mean. Is that like the sort of thing, like the nastiest thing he can think of is like taking his shoes off after a long day at work. Like the idea of, sorry that opened all kinds of other foot stuff in my sense. We don't need to talk about that if you don't want to. But there's something about the way in which he is weird. It's like, it's not charming to me because he's not, you know, he's an unkind man. And I don't agree with him on a lot of stuff. And yet at the same time, there's periodically these moments where it's just like what's Vincent D'Onofrio staggering around in the Edgar suit and Men in Black. You know what I mean? Like trying to get it together. You know, like sugar and water. Like that's kind of like Mike Pence trying to be like a folksy conservative man. But sounds come out.
The one redeeming quality of Pence is that he makes Lurch seem personable.
Yes. Yeah. No, he definitely brings home the common touch in characters like the tall man from Twin Peaks. You're like, oh, I see the charm in him now. The way he just shows up and looms. What a nice fellow. Yeah, it's. I think I'd rather that version of Pence, the kind of like weird, like Sunday school kid that somehow is instantly waking up as like a 62-year-old man. I much prefer that to the other version that you see in like debates where he's kind of just like doing some there you go again stuff and shaking his head while saying things that aren't true. Like that's not charming, but there's something about watching him be weird that I will cop to having some some affection for.
David, you were up here in Maine for a while. What is the most Maine thing you did when you were visiting?
What is the most Maine thing I did? That is, I mean, it's like my version of Maine as somebody who's from away is like sort of like I'd be like, oh, we saw a stand on the side of the road and we pulled over and got asparagus at it, you know, because that's like cool to me. But is that mean or is that just something we did because my father-in-law likes asparagus? It's hard to say. But I think the thing that I most enjoyed about it, so my in-laws stay on Deer Isle during the summer, and there is in Little Deer Isle, it's a beautiful part of the state, and there's a what they call like a night market that they opened in a space that had long been vacant in Little Deer Isle Village. And it's like, you know, local vendors, they get like sesame noodles or oysters or some stuff to bring home and cook, or some bread or whatever. And the night market, which is called the night market, runs from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. And to me, that is like there's something ineffably kind of many about that. Like the idea of being like, well, you have it after 6, like then it's dark, and then it's not a night market. So which I just found sort of delightful. Like we visited the night market before we went to dinner someplace else, which is not how you're supposed to do it. Like, unless you're on some, you know, real Castilian time and you're eating dinner at 11 p.m. But it was great. We had some oysters, and then we drove for 30 minutes, and then we ate some pizza.
Yeah, see, if you're open after 6, then it's like a middle-of-the-night market.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. And then who knows what kind of unsavory characters you might attract on Little Deer Isle.
There you go. You get those New Yorkers coming in. You know what they're like.
No, I always feel like there's, you know, whatever, not like a target on my back. They've never been rude to me or whatever, but there is definitely like sort of a haute vacation couture that I look at up there. Every now and then you'll see somebody that's just dressed like a very expensive farmer, and I'm like, oh, this person is missing the COVID. It's just like a broad brim hat that costs like what rent costs.
You
try not to do that, and I hope I fit in okay.
Oh, you do, yeah. You assimilate very well. David, it's always a treat. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. I love it every time you come on the show. Thanks for being here for the big round number today.
Man, I appreciate it. I really love coming on all the time, and I hope you do 2,000 more if you want.
I'll do my best. I will have to exceed my life expectations, but for you, I'll try to make it happen.
Yeah, I was going to say, just get some light cardio.
There we go.
Yeah, thank you very much, man, as always. Congratulations again.
Thanks, David. David Roth of Deadspin here on Downtown.